This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be happy. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, our meeting man, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none perceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none do anger or ill will, wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outward and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated and lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to false views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
Very good. Very good, very good, very good. So, so here we are again, the Monday Night Meditation Group. Just hot off the heels of, what was it, Saturday before last? We had our last half-day Saturday retreat, which went very well. And the next one is up on the board there. I think it's filling fast this time, so that's on the 8th of February. And I think Santuti is going to be away next week, but I think Ajahn Chitta may be doing the class. And I think the weekend after that, the Monday after that is the, I think, Australia Day. So that might be a holiday for the monks, for the teachers. So we'll give you a heads up for that. But if you do turn up, there's usually someone to have tea with, so. As happened last time. Was that New Year's Eve? Or Christmas Eve?
Just after.
I can't remember now.
I can't
remember. Or maybe it was New Year's. Yeah. Anyway. So, yeah, so there's still, you can still come out a cup of tea, but, yeah, so it's been quite a breakneck pace here at the monastery with our renovations, and we're working on the granite flat down there, so hopefully in a few weeks I'll be able to move down there, and then maybe a little bit longer we might get super cover down there too, so working quite hard on that, and what is that? So, Bob was asking me via email. He was as has become the practice of those living in the hills, we rush to our emergency website every time a plane goes overhead or or you hear some sirens or something. So yes, there's definitely fire danger and that sort of thing. So something to be a bit mindful of up here, or pretty much anywhere really. There's plenty of every time I look at the emergency site, there's been a fire cropping up somewhere, usually a patch of brush or something there. So Bob has had helicopters over his house, so he's a little bit concerned, and he asked me specifically if I could find a Sutta reference for a reflection on Anicca, impermanence. If you'll bear with me, I do have one, and I really like this quote. I really like this sutra. I always think of it when I'm confronted with doom and gloom, right? So here we go. So we'll see if you like this. You might not. You may or may not like it, but I shall share it because Bob asked. It's one of my favourites. And this, by the way, is in the Buddhist Words by Bhikkhu Bodhi. So if you want a bit of a guidebook to the Pali Sutras, then this is a really good book. It's actually nicely structured and there's some really nice teachings. In this sutra, the Buddha is talking to King Pasenadi, who comes up quite a lot. He's a very devout Buddhist. And okay. The Buddha says to King Pasenadi, he says, "What do you think, great king? Suppose a man would come to you from the east, one who is trustworthy and reliable, and would tell you, 'For sure, great king, you should know this. I'm coming from the east, and there I saw a great mountain, high as the clouds, coming this way, crushing all living beings. Do whatever you think should be done, great king.' A second man would come from the west, one from the north, one from the south, trustworthy and reliable, and would tell you, 'For sure, great king, you should know this. I am coming from the south, and there I saw a great mountain, high as the clouds, coming this way, crushing all living beings. Do whatever you think should be done, great king. If, great king, a great peril should arise, such a terrible destruction of human life, the human state being so difficult to obtain, what should be done?'" What does he say? He says, this is the king. He says, "If, venerable sir, such a great peril should arise, such a terrible destruction of human life, the human state being so difficult to obtain, what else should be done but to live by the Dharma, to live righteously, to do what is wholesome, to do wholesome and meritorious deeds?" And the Buddha says, "I inform you, great king, I announce to you, great king, aging and death are rolling in on you. When aging and death are rolling in on you, great king, what should be done? As aging and death are rolling in on me, venerable sir, what else should be done but to live by the Dharma, the way things are, the truth of things, making peace, being kind, being gentle, to live righteously, to be a good guy or girl, and to do lots and lots of really good stuff to people." So whenever I read about or hear about climate change or the latest hypersonic missile that Putin's working on, I just think to myself, all you have to do, you know, in life is just to do your best to make as good, much good karma as you can. So there you go. That's the nature. Sorry if that's a bit heavy on, but I thought that was a sutta that keeps inspiring me. Do you like that, Bob?
Thank you very much.
Have you got something to contemplate next time the helicopters come over? Have you got a cat to pat or a someone to have kind words to? There you go. That's all you have to do. Fine.
Thank you.
And such is the age we live in. But such is the age they lived in back then too. Yep. So anyway, today we should do some meditation. And as usual, it's pretty informal here. We can live in accordance with the Dharma in the sense of relaxing, having a lovely evening here, and you've come to a nice, quiet place. There are no TVs. You will not. maybe a water bottle will come overhead, but apart from that, there's not much to disturb you here. There's it's nice and quiet up here, and It is a little warm, I have to admit, but we've got a nice, comfortable room to enjoy some meditation tonight. And yeah, we'll sit as usual for half an hour, and afterwards we can have another conversation about whatever we want to talk about, meditation or what's going on in the monastery. Yes, I can update you on the progress of our activities. So here we are, in the present moment. Time to let go of all the worries of the day. All the worries of tomorrow, so... Now's the time just to relax, to close our eyes. Time just to be kind to your body, so if you've got some aches or pains, try and make your seat comfortable. You can start to relax all those muscles, all the tension in them from the day. But first things first, the most important thing is this present moment. Here in this room with your fellow meditators, I know a lot of you people have been coming here for at least as long as I've been here, so well over a year now. So maybe you know some of the other people here quite well. So just enjoy this present moment with this good bunch of people. It's nice and quiet. Thank you for taking the time out of your day. I know some of you are very, very busy, but you've made the effort just to come here, just to sit here and do absolutely nothing. So, well done. body has come to a standstill. There's not much going on, a bit of breathing, various bits of the body doing what it does. Just relax and let the mind slow down. As the mind slows down, and perhaps becomes a little bit more peaceful, you find that the energy taken away during the day starts to return. Just gradually in the past fade away. Letting the future fade away. To rest in the moment is to let the mind become more peaceful. When the mind is peaceful, it's easy to be kind to yourself and to others. And in the present moment, most important moment, please be gentle with your mind. A million imperfections, just making peace with them one by one. This is good enough. This is good enough. We've come to the end of the meditation, so I'll now ring the gong 3 times and we can come out for meditation at the end of the 3rd chime. Thoughts about things, meditation? Any burning queries in your mind about how meditation should progress? What kinds of meditation we should be doing? It's all perfect. Okay, oh, I can go now. No, it's good. It's good. So I was just talking before about. Just doing a bit of making some good karma throughout the day, some of the best car makers. When I talk about karma, I mean like actions with good intent. Or bad intent, but in this case, good intent. Yeah, just going through the day, there's plenty of opportunities, and also I think these evenings are really important. Just the actual act of doing nothing at all is in itself a good thing sometimes, because it actually lets the mind become, like you say, like Ajahn Brahm says over and over again, becomes more peaceful, becomes more kind, more gentle. So when you go home, you can be very kind to your grandson. And your what's he up to these days?
One's at home, back at home. The other younger one went to Durian and Peter yesterday.
Oh, Durian.
Durian Bay.
Durian Bay.
And then my other grandson, the older one, a bit older, sent me a movie about the little one casting out his fishing line, and he did a very good job.
Okay. Excellent, yeah. It is true. When you I was talking on the last retreat on the last Saturday retreat we did, that Ajahn Brahm says, you know, it's good because a lot of people have to work very hard to convince their loved ones to give them the time to go on a longer retreat, but always when they come back, you know, often when they come back, you know, it's like, oh, that was actually really good, because you come back a different person, I think, sometimes. So whether you have like an hour's retreat in the evening here on a Monday, which is all good, or a half-hour retreat, or you want to go down to Jhana Grove or something, or head overseas to Swan Rock, or we have two gentlemen here from Europe by way of Thailand. So Lionel is staying with us at the moment for 3 months or so. Well, you've got a 3 month visa, so he can stay here until the visa runs out. He'll go back to Thailand again. He's been staying at Wat Nanachat with Ajahn Kavali, and also we have Bunwan, who's visiting. He's just staying down the road in a bed and breakfast, but he thought he might come and check the place out, say hello. So I think he's been hanging out this evening with Toller and the gang, and getting a bit of feedback about how this place is run. And so myself and Santuti have been beavering away on the lower cottage now, so once that's done we can go full steam ahead with the stables. So we're looking at we're looking to have another 5 residents over there eventually, so, and not too eventually, so soon enough you'll have the opportunity to feed up to, 7 monks now, something like that, although we'll probably have some Anagarikas as well, we can feed them as well. That's all going ahead. We had a chat to Ajahn Brahm this afternoon, or this evening at tea time, and he said he's happy to pay for a new septic system, which is good. So all of the little mundane aspects of life, you know, you can just go through and do your best, and after a while you chip away at things, and I think we've done a really good job here over the last 15 months or so. We've built up some material things, and also a good community here as well, which is very valuable. Very, very happy about that. So how can I help? How can I help? How can I make your day a better day? Is there anything I can shed some light on regarding monastic life, or it's not that much to say. We get up and eat and work and meditate and have a cup of tea in the evening and meditate some more, it's all good. We have a hand, yes, thank you.
It's probably a big question, but can you give us some guidance on compassion?
Particularly
with people that we tend to find a bit difficult.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
Sure. How we can handle that better.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So, we haven't taught it so much here on a Monday night, but the practice of metta is cultivation of metta. Sometimes we refer to it as metta meditation, but it's also something you do throughout the day. Often the best way to start is to just develop compassion towards ourselves. Yeah, and as we become, we learn skillful means, whether that's some sort of mantra that you use throughout the day, or some sort of reflection, or I know Ajahn Brahm, on his retreats, he likes to have stuffed animals, stuffed cats and stuff. there's this word in the sutras, where the Buddha calls metta bhavana. So bhavana is like development or cultivation. So metta or compassion or just goodwill to others or being kind, being gentle to others, is something that we practice. And the more we practice, the better we get at it, really. So it's easier to start maybe at home with a kid or someone who's very easy to love, to have those feelings towards, and then to just cultivate that further towards maybe the people in your life who perhaps maybe haven't paid too much attention to them. Perhaps they're just people you see on the street, or you see at the shops, or that sort of thing. People you may interact with quite a lot, and just to remember when you interact with them, just to have that cultivate that feeling, to develop it. As you cultivate a mood or a emotional state, it becomes easier. So at the end of the day, it's the people we have difficulty with, or the people who we, in some cases, outright hate. there is a lot of hate in the world. It's the nature of the mind. But over time, we learn to. But through practice, we can break that down, and you realise that there's another nice reflection in the sutras where I don't know which sutra it was, but I've heard the quote where the Buddha says that, getting angry with someone is like throwing hot coals. So you might burn them, but you'll definitely burn yourself. So we also see the danger in any kind of anger. I know recently I've just been reading about, what was it? I was just reading a book. It was called The Best Australian Science Writing of 2019. I think this is like the fifth year or something that I've read it. It comes out of UNSW Press. It was interesting. The beginning of the introduction to the book was talking about climate change and all the stuff that's going on, all the stuff that's going wrong, and who's making it even worse. And you've got to get angry. It's like, I'm not supposed to get angry. It's all right now, There's these people out there who are, in some cases, people are actually being malicious, but I think a lot of people just have their own vested interest, and they don't see the damage that they're doing. There's really no kind of anger that's worth holding on to, because it certainly hurts yourself, and I think actually you have a better chance of changing people's minds as well if you're kind to them. There's a story of it's in Ajahn Brahm's book, The Opening the Door of Your Heart, where this woman was, she was very, very adept at practicing metta meditation. It was actually a formal practice for her, I think. And I think she was, maybe some sort of clothes designer or something like that. And she went to maybe overseas, I think, to see this big corporation. She was there to see the boss, and the person that she spoke to at that was very abrupt and said, "Look, he's not going to say yes. Just you know, you're wasting your time." Anyway, so she went, "Oh, I'll give it a go." Anyway, so she sat there in the meeting room and just waited for him to come, and was just practicing this, just loving kindness, being kind, you know, just may all beings be happy, you know, that sort of thing. And then this big boss came into the room, and he said, and the first thing she said was, "What beautiful blue eyes you have." And she got the contract. It's just because she practiced this this loving kindness over time. You know, it was just this, what would you say, like a habit. And when faced with this person who was very difficult, very uncompassionate person, just a few words of kindness actually changed that, and it worked out well for her. So. I find that happens a lot with me. I'm not actually intending to get my own way or anything like that. But when you do kind things, you know, people just react in a very kind and generous way back to you. I think. So there you go. Yeah, a few words on metta. If you are interested in metta meditation, there are many, many books and stuff you can read. I think Sharon Salzberg has written a book on metta meditation. I don't know if we've got it in the library, but it should be easily available. Perhaps there's some stuff online, I'm not sure. Also, there's always, for anyone interested in any variety of meditation, if you go to the Buddhist Society website, there's all sorts of guided meditations there, MP3s in for metta meditation or body sweeping or anapanasati or which is mindfulness of breathing, all those sorts of things. You can always find something, some sort of interesting guided meditation as well. So it's a nice way to learn a new technique as well. My guided meditations here tend to be a little bit just how I practice, I think. I don't know if there's a name for them. Yeah.
Is it more beneficial to try and meditate daily opposed to...
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think... from my perspective, yeah, I think you're asking whether... it's a good idea to do it. I'd say it's more important. It'd be better to do maybe 10 minutes of meditation every day than try and do 1 hour every week or something. Yeah, so it is definitely the, like I say, this habit that you develop. It's just, you maybe have some sort of time in your schedule just to sit down and find an ask. Yeah, but yeah, most people have a corner of their room or something they can use to meditate. It's always nice to use the same place as well. I used to... when I was a layperson living with my mum and dad, I'd just come back from Melbourne, and I was a grown man, but before I'd become a monk, I used to have the space above the garage. I used to meditate up there. It always felt like a nice place because I'd come back to it regularly and meditate there, which is like this room as well. You know, this people come and they're meditating here every day. Well, not every day, but most days people come here, so it has a certain feeling to it, I think. I think a little bit every day is better than more, less regular, that's what I'd say. But also, there's always days when you just don't have time, so that's okay too. Yeah.
As a layperson, I would say that my meditation has changed more because I realized the opportunity that was here, so that I meditate every day, and that's changed the meditation more quickly than did other forms of meditation, but then when I accelerated the amount of it that added to it, like I do 15 minutes in the morning, wow, that changes it, you know. It's not, I don't have to restart it or reacquaint myself with it. However you go about it, I think the more you can put in regularly, the more it has a chance to move on its own. You can't force it.
No.
But
it is organic.
You can try to get that time, and I like the 15-minute time works for me because I will do it. If it's a half an hour, I don't have a half an hour, you know, and then it's to start all those kind of things that a layperson would get into it.
But that's also a good point. I mean, the last thing you want to do is to develop ill will towards the meditation, because then you're just not going to do it anymore. But if we do that sometimes, I think people, if you really don't want to meditate, it's okay. You know, you can go and do something else, read a book or watch TV or whatever. But certainly, if you do want to meditate, you should find the time. Because sometimes you think, oh, I really want to meditate. Oh, should I do that or should I? You know.
I found my place where I need that. It's not quiet enough.
No.
So I just don't
intend
to do it.
Yeah, okay. One thing to try is to head down to the hardware store, if you can afford it, and grab a pair of earmuffs. That actually works quite well because it filters out a lot of the sound, I think. You can ask Rob, because Rob's living on a building site at the moment. So Rob behind you, he's living down in the granny flat, and me and Santu down there. Well, at least we've done most of the hammering and drilling and stuff. It's just plastering. But I think, there's something you can do. I tell you what, there must be sort of places out there you can find that are nice and quiet, I think.
I just think you might have to sort of grab a walk and try and find a park
or a library or just some place you can get a bit of peace. I remember at one point I was... I was down by the Armidale Hospital, and I was walking up the hill. I had some time to kill for whatever reason. So I walked up. It's called Karawatha Avenue, I think it is. And you just follow it up the hill, and as you walk up the hill away from Albany Highway, you know, for one, the houses get nicer. they get a bit more expensive, but it also gets quite peaceful up there as you go up the hill. And about halfway up the hill, I saw this Church of Latter-day Saints. And I thought, wow, that looks like a really good place to meditate, but I don't think they'd appreciate it if I use their church. But I thought, oh, what a great place up on the hill here, really nice and quiet. So sometimes we have to find a different place or find a way of making the place a bit easier. Yeah, so some earplugs or something to deaden the sound.
I like the headphones idea.
Yeah, try that. And also the other thing is just to have a bit of contentment as well. So if it's just a little thing, just a little bit of a distraction, then I've been in the house here. So when I first got to the house, I've got a minute or two. When I first came here, Brookton Highway sounded just like deafening. But after a while, you just start meditating with it, and it's like, oh, okay, that's fine. You know, it's just kind of background noise, and I'm just used to it now. Ways and means. Yeah.
Sometimes here I hear a dog barking, because I can hear the feeling of the dog because he's upset.
Mm.
That's more intrusive than the highway usually.
Yeah.
You have to do a little bit of letting him go before he's engaging people's interesting different sounds, different reactions.
Well, we've had to spend a bit of time thinking about the acoustics down at the granny flat, so we did all sorts of research into insulation and different kinds of gyprock and different kinds of construction and that sort of thing, just to make sure that you filter out most of the sound. But that's for a monastery, so we're trying to something that a monk can come maybe from a place like Bodniana, where it's actually quite nice and relatively quiet out. They've actually got huts in the forest, which is pretty cool. But I think down there we've got a good, we're doing pretty well. Yeah. Okay, we're fit at 8 o'clock, so that's the end of the day. Next week we may have Venerable Chittipalo, I think, hopefully. He'll be coming to stay while Sanhud is away for Chinese New Year. And so he's always got a different take on things. All the teachers have a different take on things, so please come along. Right, other side. Okay, so now we can share all the good karma we've made today, all the kindness and well-wishing, so let us share the merit today.
Through the goodness that arises from my practice, may my spiritual teachers and guides of great virtue, my mother, my father, and my relatives, the sun and the moon, and all virtuous leaders of the world, may the highest gods and evil forces, celestial beings, guardian spirits of the earth, and the Lord of death, may those who are friendly, indifferent or hostile, may all beings receive the blessings of my life. May they soon attain the threefold bliss and realize the deathless. Through the goodness that arises from my practice and through this act of sharing, may all desires and attachments quickly cease and all harmful states of mind until I realize Nirvana in every kind of birth. May I have an upright mind with mindfulness and wisdom, austerity and vigor. May the forces of delusion not take hold, nor weaken my resolve. The Buddha is my excellent refuge. Unsurpassed is the protection of the Dharma. The solitary Buddha is my noble lord. The Sangha is my supreme support. Presence and power of all these, may darkness and delusion be dispelled.
Okay. Good night. Good night, everyone. Cheers. Aircon does a bit of a job, but it still says 27 degrees.